Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 585. 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we turn this evening to two portions of Scripture. First of all, the ninth Psalm. Psalm 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid as their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higeon, that means meditation or think on it prayerfully. Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not alway be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. We turn now to the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place at the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than in any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Give us, most gracious God, that boldness we have read of now, by faith, to come to the mercy seat in prayer. Help us by faith to come to our Father, our Saviour, our Comforter, our Friend. May we not approach an unknown God, but one we've known and proved for ourselves. Help us, Lord, to take heed to thy word. For if we truly believe what we claim to believe, we have, Lord, just read the most important words we'll read this week. Thee speaking to us. Help us, Lord, to remember that whenever we open thy word, that it is thee speaking to us. And give us ears to hear what thou wilt say unto us. Give us, Lord, that faith to believe, that faith to enter into that rest we have read of, that faith to eat and to drink of the bread and the water of life, that faith to come with all our need and to trust in a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour. Pardon and forgive our every sin. And lead us, gracious God, to that fountain opened at Calvary. And Lord, may we prove this evening that there is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. Help us to bring the honour, the reverence, the respect due to thy holy name as we come now to worship thee. Help us, Lord, to give thee thanks and praise for all thy kindnesses to us in the journey of life here below, for our health and strength, for our homes, our loved ones, our possessions, our careers, the measure of comfort and peace and security we all enjoy. We thank thee more for the precious blood, the holy righteousness of Jesus Christ. May, Lord, there be many hearts this night, united in true thanksgiving to thy name for all that thou hast done in salvation. And may, Lord, there be many this night who seek to know that salvation for themselves, to enter into that rest, to be given that faith to believe. Come in thy risen power and glory, and through thy Holy Spirit, work in our midst here this evening. May, Lord, there be life in our worship tonight. May, Lord, there be joy in the presence of the angels of God this evening over repenting sinners here. And Lord, may there be joy in our own hearts over thy pardoning love and mercy. Bless, Lord, each one found here this evening hour, the regular congregation of this cause of truth, and those who have gathered from other causes. May, Lord, there be that united worship of thy name this night here. And bless each one with their various different concerns, burdens, and needs in life. Remember, Lord, those who mourn, the loss of a father. Comfort their hearts this day. And be with any, Lord, who are in any trouble, in distress, in sorrow, in difficulty, perplexity. At Wits End Corner, supply their need, we pray, this night. May they hear thee say, peace be still. Be with seekers, Lord, may they be finders. Remember those dead in sin, make them seekers. Remember thy people, Lord, who have sought thee and who have found thee. Help them to go on to seek to know thee more clearly. For, Lord, we can never know it all here below of thee. There's always something more to learn. Lead us by thy Spirit into all truth, we pray. And may we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Bless this cause of truth. Bless the ministry of thy word here. Help thy servants as they preach. Help them to lift high the cross of Christ, to exalt the Lamb once slain, to point sinners to him and to him alone. Help those, Lord, who hear thy word here. May they hear thy word in faith, savingly. And may they be enabled to look to Jesus, not just as the Lamb of God, but as their Lamb, as their sacrifice, as their Saviour, as their all. Gather in others to worship here. Fill the empty pews, we pray, with souls conscious of their need of thee and seeking for that need to be supplied. Gather into this church those whom thou hast saved by thy grace here, and do be with this church and keep them together, keep them at thy feet. May they be united. May they go on together, leaning upon Christ, under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, may they know what it is for their hearts to burn in love one for another, as well as for Christ Jesus, the Lord. Help the deacons and be with them in their office. And bless them in their pathways in life. Remember, Lord, our nation. Put thy fear in our rulers. Pour out thy Spirit upon this land. And grant there may yet be that return to thee, that revival, that conviction of sin, that leaving of sin, that cleaving to Christ. Lord, give us the faith to pray and then to watch for those prayers to be answered. Be with thy people throughout the world. Be with any, Lord, who are persecuted for thy sake. Any, Lord, in prison for thy name, help them, be near unto them. Support them. Grant them all sufficient grace for their day. And bless us now as we come to thy word. Crown thy gospel with success. Bless us indeed. Grant us, Lord, thy presence. Grant us to hear thy voice. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 572. Before the earth or seas were made, Jesus was chosen as our head, the Father's first elect. In him the church was chosen too, and he engaged to bring them through, nor will he them neglect. Hymn 572.
Oh,
seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the 9th Psalm, the 10th verse. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. This word is a follow on, is it not, from what we were considering this morning? And that word in Isaiah, therefore my people shall know my name. And the outworking of that knowledge we have here in our text, that they put their trust in that name and they seek that name. And we have the promise of God here that he will not forsake them. They that know thy name. This knowledge is a saving knowledge. It's not a carnal knowledge. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing his name. The difference is this. The knowledge of our text will have an effect in our lives. There will be a difference between when we have been brought to know him and when we were strangers. There will be fruit to this knowledge. It will have an effect or an impact in our lives. And if you and I are brought here to know this name, it is because he first knew our names, which are put in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we are brought by grace to seek this name, it is because he first sought us. Because God is always the beginning and the author. The fruit of that is that his people seek him, but he's always a beginning. They don't seek him first, he seeks us. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Are you a seeker? Do you know the Lord? Do you long to know him or not? What brought me to this text this evening? Earlier this week, I was listening to the call by grace and call to the ministry of an Irish Presbyterian minister in Northern Ireland. And I will never forget how he spoke of his call to the ministry. He said that in his younger days, he had an aunt and uncle who were very dear to him. Because they didn't have any children of their own, they looked upon him and his brothers and sisters as their own children. But he said, my uncle was not saved. He said, my aunt was. By God's grace, the rest of us were, but he wasn't. He said he never made any trouble. He never prevented us from going to the Lord's house. But he didn't want to know anything of the name of God. He wouldn't have the name mentioned in his presence. Well, he ended up in hospital. And he was told, their family were told, that he would not last that day out. And this man said, I was praying for him because I knew he wasn't saved. And he said his last words were these, oh hell, hell, hell. And with that anguish cry, he went into eternity. And he said, I was then given a desire to preach to others, to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. When I heard that, I was led to our text. And the reason I say this evening, friends, how I've been brought to this text, which we do not usually do we, as ministers? That man in his life, he thought it was quite all right that he didn't know the Lord, that he hadn't sought him. No doubt he thought it would be right in the end, but was it? No. And he knew it at the end, but he was lost. But friends, what about us? Eternity is near. And eternity is long. And how awful then would it be if we were wrong in that day of death? Because if you're wrong in that day, you'll be wrong forever after that day of death. There'll be no putting of it right in eternity. There will be no seeking and finding his name then. It's in this life that he is to be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord, he will abundantly pardon. The inference of that text is that there comes a day when he cannot be found. And that is the other side of the grave. Because he will forsake those who do not seek him. He will forsake those who are a total stranger to him. He will forsake those who rely on themselves for salvation or try and climb up some other way. It is vital for our soul's health, for our soul's prosperity, for our soul's eternal standing, to be made right for eternity. And only those who are right are those who know the name of the Lord, and those who seek that name. and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, before we come to speak again on some of the names of the Lord, these three words, know, trust, and seek, what do they mean? First of all, this word know. It does mean that those who are in this text have an understanding and a knowledge, an awareness of the name and the character of God. It also means that they have a love for this name, that there is an attraction and a drawing to this name. It's not just a cold knowledge. It is a knowledge which brings love with it. It is a love, it is a knowledge which brings a drawing to this name. Have you known that knowledge? Because you will only know that as Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. There's also the word worship here in the original Hebrew. And only those who are truly know the Lord really worship. Worship is from the heart, or it's not at all. It is bringing the honour and the glory and the reverence and the respect due to his holy name. But there's always love in worship. And adoration. And that word adoration means the deepest love that we possess. That belongs to God. And to God alone. Have you ever worshipped this name? Some of you have. You've known what it is to bow before this name in love, in reverence, and give him the glory and praise and honor for your salvation. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Secondly, this word trust, what does it mean? It means a reliance upon God for salvation of your soul. It means looking to God and to God alone in Christ Jesus. For your eternal prosperity and welfare and future place in heaven. And looking nowhere else. It means resting and building with all your soul's spiritual strength and might on what Christ Jesus has done in his life and in his death. And those who know his name, it will always have the fruit of trust or faith with it. Where is your confidence this evening for heaven? On what are you relying? Is it in Christ or is it somewhere else? If you're brought to know this name, you will trust in him. We cannot trust someone who we do not know. We cannot trust someone who we do not respect or have confidence in. That is what trust is. Our trust is either in the name of God or it is in ourselves. And if your hope for heaven lies in your own works, it's because you're trusting in your own name. You're not trusting in the name of Christ. You're building on your own name. You're not building on Christ. And if you're never brought off that trust, your end will be the same end as that man who we began our service this evening talking about. Because when it comes to it, you are as much a stranger to him as that man was. But those who trust in this name are not a stranger to him. They were once, but they've been brought by divine revelation to know the name of Jesus. They've been brought to trust the name of Jesus. They've been brought to build their hope for heaven alone upon the name of Jesus. That's what the work of the Spirit does. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Easy to sing, is it not? It takes nothing less than the power of the Spirit of God to walk it out. But thank God this evening, if you can, from your honest heart, say, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust from thee I bring, all my help from thee I get. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Go on, you in the right way. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And then thirdly, this word seek. Because this is a very precious word. And the Hebrew language is a lot richer than our own. But in the original, the word seek here means a lot more than what it might seem when we first look at this word. And yes, it does mean, of course, to look for something diligently. That's what seeking is it not? You're looking for something that you need, that you don't have. And so you look for it, where it might be. And you cannot be satisfied until you find it. That's what seeking is. But in the original Hebrew, this word is a lot more vast than that. It speaks of those who have full assurance of faith. The promise that the Lord will not forsake them is given to those who have full assurance and total confidence that God is their salvation. Like the apostle, they say, I know. But it's also a word which specifically encompasses those who have a hope. Those that do not have full assurance. Those who have doubts and fears. But they long to know that the Lord is their salvation. This word seek encompasses them just as much as it encompasses those who have full assurance of faith. We have here the one of little faith. We have here the one of giant faith, and perhaps also we have the one in between as well. Trembling believer this evening, with a little faith, don't despise it. Don't cast it away. Don't write it off because you have not got yet that full assurance. Our text is specifically for your encouragement to go on to seek to know the Lord more clearly, to go on to seek to know that full assurance of faith. Yes, covet it. Ask for it. Ask God to give you that full assurance. But do not despise what he's already done for you, because our text is just as much for you as it is for those who have full assurance this evening. May that be an encouragement to you who are seeking, but have not yet found. Yes, it encompasses you. You say, but I haven't found yet. Yes, but you're seeking. Has it? Let me put it like this. This evening, you cannot say you have faith. Why then are you seeking for your salvation in someone who you say you have no faith in? The very fact that you are praying privately, day in, day out, night in, night out, you cannot rest. The very fact you are coming to the house of God, saying we would see Jesus, that you are asking the Lord to so bless the word to your soul, that is faith. It's a little faith, but it's still faith. Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. And the Lord has promised to you, he has not forsaken you. If he'd forsaken you, you would never seek him. To those of you who say you have faith, but you have never sought, you've never prayed for forgiveness, you've never longed for God to reveal himself to you in mercy, you've never had any concern really about the name of Jesus and whether he was your Saviour or not, by your very indifference, by your very prayerlessness and carelessness, although you may claim to be a believer, you show you are not. Because the fruit of faith will be prayer. It will be seeking after him, and if you've never sought after him, you cannot claim to be a Christian. Because Christians are seekers. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Not forsaken. He's not cast you off, trembling soul. He's not turned his back upon you. He has not rejected you. Thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cry forget. Wait on the Lord, take courage still. His promise surely he will fulfill. Yes, he may keep you waiting, but he will come in his own time, in his own way, by his own means. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Even though we may deserve to be forsaken, this is a promise for those who have known him and are backslidden. It even includes them. What a blessing, is it not? When we forsake him, he doesn't forsake us. He seeks out the wandering sheep until he finds them. And you know, just as literally, that sheep who has wandered away and may have got afar off, separated from the flock, he has just as much a shepherd as the rest of the flock have. The difference is a distance between them, but the reality remains the same. So, child of God, this evening, who have wandered and strayed and have now got into a place where you feel afar off, and you're being taught something of the solemnity of straying from the Lord, and he will rebuke and he will reprove when you do that, but he will not forsake. He'll bring you back. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So what are the names then that you will be brought and favoured to know? You'll be brought to know God as your Father. And you know the Lord's people have the right to call him Father. And there is something wrong with your faith, believer, if it can never rise high enough to call him Father. Remember how the Lord taught his disciples to pray? And it wasn't just a prayer for those 11. It is equally a prayer for all his disciples. And disciples are seekers. Our Father. Precious words. And if by faith you are unable to come to God, not just as your creator, not just as your king, not just as your sovereign, not just as your judge, but as your Father, there will be a freeness and a liberty that there hasn't been before. Why? Because there is a love between God and his children. Because there is a union between God and his children. Because if you have the right to call God Father, it means that you have a place on his heart. And nothing that you can come into can destroy that relationship. Yes, let us ever speak with reverence to the Father. Child of God, don't be afraid in prayer to call him Father. It honours and pleases him. But there should not be any flippancy or irreverence in it. Equally, there should be no flippancy or irreverence in any name we call God. It's not just Father. But what about the other names? What about the name Lord? How often do we say that in prayer without really thinking? We are to respect him. We are to reverence him. We are to honour him. We are to give him the respect due to his name. The child of God this evening, may you be able, for for a moment tonight to rejoice in this. Rejoice in your inheritance, that you have a Father in heaven who fills the throne. You have a Father who loves and cares for you. Why do those of you who are natural fathers or natural mothers, it's the same principle, is it not? Why do you do what you do for your children who completely depend upon you, especially in the early years of life? Why have you provided them with a home, with food, with drink, with clothing, with guidance? It's not out of duty, is it? It's not because you feel you ought to do it, or because you have to do it. Surely the reason is because you love them. Because there is that bond between you and them that there isn't between anyone else. A God-given, a God-created bond. And it is your privilege and your delight for love's sake to do these things for them. It doesn't end either, does it, when they get older? There'll always be that bond. They'll always have that place upon your heart, no matter how old they may grow. Well, if that is so naturally, far, far deeper, is it so spiritually? God the Father has done everything for his children, for love's sake. He has provided for them his beloved Son, to do for them what they could not do for themselves. He has provided the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, to be their guide. All for love's sake. He has provided his throne where we can come at any time, at any hour, with any need, for love's sake. And he delights to hear his children plead. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. But then you'll be brought to trust and to seek in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. This knowledge brings us to realize, first of all, that we need a Saviour. That we cannot save ourselves. That no one else can save us. But one, and that is Jesus. And then you'll be brought to know something of the character of the Saviour. That he has a love for sinners. That he has a compassion for sinners. That he receives sinners. That he blesses sinners. That he forgives sinners. That he supplies their needs. Yes, he doesn't love or receive our sins. He hates them. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost hate the sins of the elect just as much as the sins of the lost. But they have a love for the elect themselves. And every one of those elect are wretched sinners. And the way to know your election is through the redemption of Christ. come just as thou art with thy guilt. Fall down at the feet of the Lamb. He cannot, he will not say go, but surely will take out thy stain. The fountain is open for sin, and thousands its virtues are proved. He'll take thee and plunge thee therein, and wash thee from guilt in his blood. Come now, he says, and reason together. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Lo, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Lo, they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why does he say, come now? Because you're not going to get any better by staying away. You're not going to improve by staying away. You're not going to get more presentable by staying away. You know what one of our hymns says? If you tarry or wait until you're better, you will never come at all. It is one of the devil's lies to say that you're too polluted. You're too vile. You've left it too late. You've got to get better first. But how are you going to get better? In and of yourself. It's impossible. You can't. His word says, without me ye can do nothing. That therefore means that we cannot improve or get better even of ourselves independently of God. In ourselves we are nothing but sin and will never be anything other than sin. And you have to come to God with nothing but your sin. But the preciousness of the character of this name is this, that he receives such. He welcomes such. He forgives such. For his own name's sake. For his own glory and honor. Trust the character of the Saviour then. For he's worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your confidence. And the only way to be made right with God is through what Christ Jesus has done, not what you've done, but in what Christ has done. First of all, in his life, you go to the prophecy of Jeremiah. We read twice in a few chapters of each other. This is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Go a little further. And you read it slightly differently. This is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Well, it reminds me of the illustration of a wedding, of a bride and a bridegroom. And you know, the bride comes to that ceremony with the name that she was born with the name that she has lived in since her birth. She comes in her own name. She can't come any other way, can she? But her husband doesn't reject her because she's come in her own name. No, he receives her. He welcomes her. And then as those vows are taken, for love's sake, one to the other, And as they are pronounced husband and wife in the holy name of God, she doesn't leave that ceremony with the name she came with, does she? She leaves, she's left that name behind. She leaves that ceremony and will be known ever afterwards as the surname of her husband. And that husband delights to be identified with her because he loves her. In allowing her to take his name, he's saying, I will do all that is necessary to take care of you in life, to provide for you, for love's sake. That is what the Lord has done. This is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, the blessed holy bridegroom, Christ himself. That is his name, righteous, pure, sinless, perfect. That's what righteousness is it not? In other words, to put it as simply as I can, right with God. In God's eyes, God looks on his beloved Son. He looks on his whole life that he lived here below. And he says it's right. It's good. It's just. It's perfect. It's complete. It's consistent with what I demand. In the words of the hymn you've just sung, in him I'm ever, ever pleased. And you shall of your pain be eased and see a smiling God. And again, in him my soul delighteth well. My great commands he shall fulfill and banish all your fear. The Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity on earth met the standard that God required in his justice. And that was necessary. That's why he lived that life, because God demanded perfection. And if any of the human race were to be saved, then there had to be a perfect human righteousness provided. That is why it says, this is a name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. But then we find the language changing. This is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And this is what is a glorious fact here. When we come to God, by faith, that first time, we come in our own name. We come with the name we've been born with. We come in the name that we've lived in. We've come in the name that we have loved and gloried in. What is that name? Do you need me to tell you? It's sinner. That's our surname, spiritually speaking, sinner. Not a name to be fit for a holy God's presence, is it? And yet we have here the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when that one comes by faith, he receives that one. He loves that one. and for love's sake, as a token that he will do for that one all that they require and need but cannot do for themselves, he gives them his own name, the Lord our righteousness, the bride of Christ. That's her surname. And believer, in God's eyes, your surname now is not sinner. It's the Lord our righteousness. You're perfect through him. You're pleasing through him to God. You're comely and beautiful through him, not through your own name, but through him and what he has done. And for love's sake, he's taken away that name, sinner, and he's replaced it with his own name. He's not ashamed to be identified with you. He's not ashamed, we're told elsewhere in Hebrews, to call them brethren. He's equally not ashamed for you to be called the bride of Christ. Was ever love like this? Let it not be said of any of us who may be favoured to have that name that we are ashamed to own him. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom our hopes for heaven depend. No, when we blush, be this our shame that we no more revere his name. Don't be ashamed of his name, for he has done nothing for you to be ashamed of. You think of it, we've done everything for him to be ashamed of. And yet he's not ashamed to be called, us to be called his brethren. He's not ashamed to be called our Saviour. He's not ashamed to be called your friend. He's not ashamed to be called the husband of the church. What deep love that is. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And then you'll know the value and worth of the precious death of Christ, the precious blood which he has shed, the Lamb of God who has been slain, who has been offered without spot to God, that innocent Lamb who did no wrong, who did not deserve to die. Dying the death which we deserved, being punished for the sins that his people have committed. And that precious blood which he shed has the power to cleanse you from all your sin. And if that blood has cleansed you from all sin, you're fit for heaven. You are now regarded as innocent and just in the sight of God. And when you're brought to know that, you'll find a preciousness in the name of Jesus. You'll find a suitability in the name of Jesus. You will find that all you ever need is found here and met in the name of Jesus. Your refuge, your deliverer, your saviour, your friend, he to save my soul from danger, as the hymn writer interposed, his precious blood. That means his blood stood between. That's what interpose means. It means standing between to shield you. And so whatever is threatening you fell on him instead of on you. That's what happened at Calvary. The justice of God fell on him instead of on that poor sinner who deserved it. And now in heaven as a high priest, he presents the merits of his blood before his Father's face. His blood speaks in heaven, and it speaks in the hearts of his people on earth. And what does it speak of? Peace. Rest. Reconciliation. I must stop because of the time. There's so much more, isn't there, in this name? Go home. Prayerfully consider this name. Ask the Lord to reveal to you more deeply this week, day by day, the various names that he is known by. And ask him to show you that each and every one of those names is an office which he will fulfill for you. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Child of God, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's forever. And he is faithful, that promised. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach tomorrow evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for church members next Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, John Rosier is expected to preach, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 545. 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. Hymn 545.
O Lord, do forgive in thy kindness and tender compassion all that thou hast seen wrong. In our worship of thy great and holy name this day, grant by thy Spirit's teaching and revealing we may know thy name, we may put our trust in thee, that we may flee to that refuge for sinners and find in him a welcome. And Lord, in that day of death, may we find comfort. May we find shelter, protection and peace in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, may we spend an eternity in praising that name in heaven above. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. Abide with this people. Watch over them. Supply their every need. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest, rule and remain with us now and forever. Amen.